Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Thank you. All right. I agree with our first pastor here. I like this question. I think, however, some of us don't really even know what feeling closer to God would actually look like. But we want it anyway, right? Everybody wants on some level to feel closer to God. He's all powerful. He created everything. He knows you inside and out. Of course, we want to be closer to him, but we don't always take the time to think about what that actually means. If you look at this question, the person says, you know, in the end, I want to be closer to God and to feel closer to him as well. That's a problem, because you can't be closer to God. God is, by definition, everywhere. The Bible says that we are joined to him. There's a psalm where David is writing this worship song. He says, I can't get away from you when I want to. Things are going real well and you're there. When I'm depressed and just want to be alone and sulk, you're there. I couldn't be further away from God if I tried. So there's this idea of my feelings versus reality. I don't feel close to God, so I must not be close to God. But that's not true, is it? We all have feelings that don't reflect the way things actually are. Sometimes we try to. I have known several people this last week who have just decided in their brain that it can't be this cold anymore. They're not going to do this. They're going to put on their shorts and go outside because this is over now. They feel it in their spirit that it will be 60 degrees if they think hard enough. That's not working out for them. You'll notice them walking around the city because they have the shorts on. They've got 3 pairs of socks and a hoodie and 2 coats, and they're just trying to think warm thoughts. It's not going real well. Your feelings don't always indicate the way things are going. We've all had a relationship or a job, or maybe when you were in school or some situation where you thought things were going great, and then someone else informed you that they were not. And most of us have had the opposite at some point. We thought, this is going to be my last day at this job for sure. If they've even half paid attention, I'm already fired. And you just slide along because our feelings don't reflect reality. Our feelings are this whole mix of reality and our past and our insecurities and our fears and what we choose to believe without reality. Thank you. That's fine. I've never had the lights go out during a sermon before. Feels like that's some kind of sign. Is that, maybe I should keep it short, I don't know. But I want to talk about this, where do I start? So we are close to God, but we don't feel it. So what can be causing that disconnect? Where do I start? I think you start with recognizing the voice of God in your life. Because if you don't know what the voice of God is, you'll do that feelings thing and you'll just jump to assume that whatever the strongest feeling you have in this moment must be the right voice to follow. And that is a real problem because we all have feelings of fear or doubt or insecurity or guilt or shame or all these things that if you let that be the last word, somewhere in your brain, you will just assume God agrees with you. I feel real guilty about this thing I did, so God probably hates me because I hate me, so that's where we are now. So God must be far from me. Now, God isn't far from you, but it's your emotions that are creating that kind of disconnect. And if you don't catch it, you'll end up doing all sorts of crazy stuff to try to get rid of that guilt without actually getting God involved in the process. So a lot of folks end up backsliding. They get caught on this feeling, and that becomes the main thing in their brain, in their life. So you start chasing whatever's going to make that feeling go away. And we all know of some substances that make a whole lot of feelings go away, and this one will probably do it. But that's not the reality. If you don't focus on what God's voice actually is in your life, It is very easy for the devil to convince you that his voice is God's voice and get you all twisted up running around on the wrong thing. Now, the way you find out God's voice is by some experience. You got to pray. It's a great time to go to Scripture. If Scripture says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and you are feeling condemned, then there is something wrong with that feeling. Your feelings are not bigger than Scripture. But you have to know what that voice is, because some of us, either by our own invention or getting raised in certain church environments, just get these ideas about God that have nothing to do with the reality of things. And it's very easy to go chasing those around. If you've been told your whole life that you're just nothing and God doesn't want anything to do with you, despite the fact that you read in the Bible that that's not true, you can come to the Bridge and we'll tell you every week that that's not true, you'll go looking for things that make that true. You'll start listening to the people telling you that thing you already kind of believe. So you can get week after week of coming in here and Glenn and Jed hugging on your neck and telling you we believe in you and giving you all this stuff. And then you can walk into a church service and some church lady gives you a side glance and you assume she must be right, because you've always kind of thought that about yourself. You end up chasing that feeling. I want to go back to the story that Pastor Jeremy was telling us there for a second, because these feelings come from when you just assume you know who God is without asking him. If you think about that tax collector in that story, he stood up and said, "Well, I know what God wants from somebody's life, so let me just tell you about how awesome I am." Now, the problem is he wasn't right. He did not bother asking God what God wants. So he had run far in the other direction. Think of this the way you think of any relationship in your life. If you're married to someone, dating someone, you can't just assume you know what kind of food they like and cook it for them. That may not go well. I never asked her if she was allergic to shellfish, but I made 20 pounds of lobster. I just thought she'd like it. You got to ask some questions. You got to get to know people. It's the same way with God. You got to spend a little time in the Word. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time getting some wisdom. So you don't just assume you know what God is. Because I don't know about y'all. I'm just going to talk about for myself. If I don't keep it in check, I always assume the worst about God. I always assume he is fed up with me and my nonsense. And he is impatient and angry and unforgiving and spiteful and all those things that I kind of am, which may be why I assume God is that way. But if you don't let that run away with itself, you can turn that into a conversation with God. There's all sorts of examples from the Gospels, like our friend the tax collector there. The prodigal son, you guys probably heard that story, where son tells dad, "I wish you were dead," takes half his money, runs off, spends it all on booze and women. Now he knew, the same way we know, that God, he knew his father didn't want to have anything to do with him. So he tried to work this whole arrangement where he could go work as a paid servant. Now he started going home. His father ran out to meet him and kissed his face, and everything was squashed. Imagine if he had been so convinced that his dad didn't want anything to do with him that he never even started home. How differently that story ends. There are these guys in the Bible we talk about a lot, the church folks, called the Pharisees. They had Jesus in their presence and saw him heal people and do miracles, and they refused to believe that he was who he said he was. As a matter of fact, had him killed for saying he was God. And one of the reasons is they said, no, we know what God is like, and you're not acting like it. God doesn't hang out with those people. God likes people like me, not people like them. So you can't be God. Didn't work out well for them. Now, the gamblers and cursers and prostitutes and tax collectors, when Jesus came by and said, this is how it is because I'm God. They said, okay, I made a pretty big mess of this thing. Let's try it your way. And they actually followed, had that intimate relationship. Because they let God tell him who he was instead of they told God who he was. And let's go to this first real quick. Let's sum this up. This is a story Jesus told in John 10 about a shepherd. It says, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. He'd go on later in the chapter to explain that he means himself there. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. If Jesus is always near to you, it's not actually that hard to follow him. But you have to know what voice you're following. And if we can focus on that, if we can start there by digging into the Word, praying, getting some wisdom on who God actually is and what he actually says about us, that'll take care of all that guilt and shame and fear that makes us create our own God and go chasing after him. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.